Friends and family, welcome this 15th day of April to Gates Presbyterian Church. A few announcements as we begin this afternoon. This would be an excellent time, if you have not already done so, to silence your cell phones, please. And the deacons and the Davis family would like to extend an invitation to everyone for a reception in the Fellowship Hall, which is out these doors and down the hallway following the service today. The book of John tells us that I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. We come here in sorrow seeking comfort in these words, and we come here in hope, wanting to believe these words, and we come here in trust that Dean now knows these words to be true. I invite you into this time of remembrance. This is a time to honor the life of Dean Scott Davis with our prayers and reflections, our stories and laughter and tears, and most especially our love. Won't you pray with me? Compassionate and loving God, yours is the beauty of childhood, and yours is the fullness of years. Comfort us in our sorrow, strengthen us with hope, and breathe peace into our troubled hearts. Indeed, help us to bless you for the gift you gave us in Dean, for the joy he gave all who knew him, and the memories that will abide with us, for the assurance that he lives forever in the joy and peace of your presence. Guide us, O God, through this time of sadness with the light of your love and strength and compassion. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. At this time, if you would stand as you are comfortable and able to join together in the words of the call to worship. Gracious is our God. Loving is our God. Holy is our God. We come here today to bear witness to the resurrection in Christ and in us. Great is our God.
Good afternoon. Thank you for being here with me and my family. My name is Andrew White, and Dean Davis was my grandpa. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Our second reading for this afternoon comes from the Gospel of Luke. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus Himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing Him. He said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad, and then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered Him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed Him over to be condemned to death and crucified Him. But we had hoped that He was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all these things, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find His body there, they came back, told us that they had indeed seen vision of angels that said He was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Him." And then He said to him, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into His glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them things about Himself in all scriptures. And as they came near the village to which they were going, He walked ahead as if He were going on. But they urged Him strongly, saying, stay with us. It is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over. So He went in to stay. And when He was at table with them, He took bread. He blessed it, He broke it, and He gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. They recognized Him, and He vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" While He was talking to us on the road, while He was opening the scriptures to us, and the same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon," and then they told Him what had happened on the road and how He had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And While they were talking about this, Jesus stood among them and said, "Peace, peace be with you." Peace, peace be with you. The first words Jesus spoke to the group of disciples with whom he met in Jerusalem on the day of his resurrection. A very simple statement that summed up all that had taken place. His life, ministry, death, and resurrection was to show the world peace anew. Peace be with you. The peace that comes to all of us as we walk together on life's journey, the peace that is the presence of God, the peace that appeared to two ordinary travelers on the road to Emmaus. This resurrection appearance is one story that captures our imagination as we envision ourselves walking on this long and dusty road. We've never actually heard of Cleopas or his companion before in any of the gospel stories. And I think it's this lack of information that encourages us to use our imaginations. And I love how many scholars believe that because Cleopas' companion is unnamed, it's actually his wife. I love husband and wife walking along an ordinary road together. Think about this couple and how they had experienced a great deal together over the years. Perhaps you can picture a young boy growing up in a small town with lots and lots of friends, going out to cause trouble wherever they went. Their parents never let them go far, but of course they knew all the kids in the next town over. And perhaps this is where he would meet a girl. She would play hard to get, but he was determined, willing to even sleep outside just to see her again. Imagine this young couple who would go on to marry and embark on many great adventures together. This couple knew of Jesus and felt called to be part of his ministry. They followed his teachings, learned of his love, and in so many ways sought to share that love with all those that they met along the way. They celebrated with their family and friends the good times and faced the challenging ones together, because no matter what they faced, they did it together, hand in hand, with Jesus walking by their side. Can you see them? When Debbie and Dennis, Bill and Scott and Chris shared the stories of Dean and Sonia's life with me, they talked about how for years they love to walk together. You can see Dean and Sonia being like this couple in the text. They walked together on life's road for 62 years together. Dean Scott Davis was born on June 25th, 1932, in Mount Pilger, Vermont, to Daniel Scott and Minnie Dynamite Davis. Love that. Dean was a middle child, 7 years between his oldest brother, Alden, and then him and his younger sister, Linda. It was probably a good thing there was a large span between them, because I can only imagine as a mother what it was like trying to keep up with Dean as a child. Mischievous, high-energy, boundary-pushing youngster. He knew when he asked permission to do something and his dad said maybe, maybe he should not have talked back to him when he thought that he knew what maybe meant. Dean was always looking for an opportunity to make people laugh. He was playful and fun, determined and dedicated. He lived and worked and played on his own schedule. And these are the characteristics that eventually won over his best friend Sonia's heart. Or, as Sonia would like to say in a sing-song voice to highlight just how different they were, we do everything alike. You see, my guess is that Sonia would have really liked to see the second act of a Broadway show of Boyfriends, starring the then barely known actress Julie Andrews. But Dean just couldn't contain his excitement and asked Sonia to marry him during intermission. Of course, she was swept up in his energy and enthusiasm. And it was that energy that kept them both going through multiple moves, New York City, Boston, Maine, and eventually here in Rochester, as Dean pursued his career as an insurance professional. Dean worked as hard as he played, with a desire to serve his clients with integrity and professionalism. And Dean was an incredibly generous man. This was most evident in the ways he gave himself to his wife and best friend Sonia and his family. Debbie, Bill, and Scott all speak of their father as a man who was always there for them, coming to watch their tennis matches and concerts. He spent a lot of time on the tennis court himself, beating all those Kodak retirees and teaching his kids and grandkids. As a family, Dean, Sonia, and the kids also spent many weekends camping, sailing their little sunfish across the lakes of the Northeast. He did all of this for his kids. But he didn't hesitate to remind them when they were acting up in the back seat that you all are just along for the ride. Dean would go on to share these memories of camping, of joy and having fun with his grandchildren. Debbie and Dennis, Scott and Chris joked about how Dean really wanted to make sure he had a chance to enjoy all of you, and that's why there's 20 years from the oldest to the youngest. Dean shared enthusiasm and energy for life as he gave back to his church family here at GPC as well. They joined not long after their move to Gates, and Dean would serve faithfully as an elder, a trustee, and member of the pastor search committee that called the Reverend Bob Kaiser. I know Bob was an important part of Dean's life, and we'll have a chance in a moment to hear some of those stories. But I know church can't be all committees and serious business, because this was Dean Davis after all. Dean and Sonia loved the fellowship with their friends at Couples Club, weekend church camping trips, and they were both instrumental in supporting the mission of this church, sponsoring refugee families, traveling to Mexico for a mission trip. And Dean supported Sonia as she worked with others in the church to start the Rochester area preschool program. Dean and Sonia walked along together for so many years. And when they both began to experience cognitive troubles, of course, neither one would consider entering a care facility for themselves. It was a genuine love and concern for the other that they moved to Cottage Grove. And these last few years have been challenging. And it was certainly frustrating for Dean that this wasn't something that he could fix with a kitchen knife and duct tape, no matter how determined he would be to try. this difficult road of dying was still something Dean would do on his own terms. He fought this last week to make sure he had the chance to see each one of his grandchildren. And he didn't do that for himself, but for you all. You've all had the opportunity to experience the love of Christ in all the ways that Dean shared his love with us on his life journey. And though he is no longer here to walk with us, we are assured that Jesus continues to walk alongside Dean and each and every one of us every time we share his love together. Peace be with you wherever we go. Whether we ascend to heaven, take the wings of the morning, or settle at the farthest limit of the sea, the peace of God's presence is there. It was God who first attended to the minute details of Dean's life, who remained with him until the end, and continues to be the peace and presence as Dean experiences new life in Christ. And for this, we give thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, I invite the Reverend Bob Kaiser, I'd like to share a few of those special memories.
Dean was part of the pastor nominating committee that called me to be pastor of this church in 1976. I used to kid him and say I'd never forgive him for that. But he was a wonderful member of this church, always here in worship, supportive of programs, could do whatever he could. He didn't choose to be necessarily a leader, but he was there for everything and really supportive of me and everybody in the congregation. But he was more than a parishioner. He was a friend of mine. And all through the 80s, on many Wednesday afternoon, we'd be playing racquetball together until the time he had a heart attack on the court. That's another story, which I won't share with you at this moment. And we talked a lot about his playing tennis, and once in a while I let him beat me. One of his highlights was going to the U.S. Open tennis with Scott and Bill. Never forgot that. As Melissa said, he loved the Adirondacks with his family. He went to Mexico with us. He wasn't so brave going up some of the hills, but he stayed with it and hung in there. And he certainly enjoyed his grandchildren, made things for them, and if you knew him, he told some corny jokes every once in a while. So he was what I would call simply a nice guy. And I mean that in a really positive way, just a nice guy. And I would thank God for the gift of knowing Dean in that way. I'd like to do something a little bit more unusual, and I would be remiss if I did not talk about the Davis kids. And I feel free I can call them kids because Bill and Scott beat me regularly in ping pong, and we played softball together. I was here when Debbie started with the junior choir, a job she continues to do so very well. So I call them kids. And Debbie, Scott, Bill, and Andrew really were wonderful with their parents in these last few years of struggle. I mean, it was really hard on them. I know as it was hard on Dean and Sonia, too. And yet they were always there, always helpful, always caring. So in addition to thanking God for Dean and Sonia and the wonderful things they shared together, as Melissa said so wonderfully, I certainly would thank God for the Davis family. And when I think of them, Bill comes over and helps me with my computer still. When I think of them, I think of the power of family and faith put together. And I simply say, thank you, God.
be seated. Please join me for a time of prayer. Gentle God, Creator and Savior, Giver and Redeemer of life, we praise you that we are made in your image and reflect your truth and light. We thank you for the life of your child, Dean Davis, for the love he received from you and showed among us. Hold and sustain Dean's family and all those who have surrounded him with love during his life. For his wife, Sonia, their children and spouses, Debbie and Dennis, Bill, Scott and Chris, their grandchildren, Kelly and Jennifer, Andrew, Zach and Ryan, and great-grandchildren, Everett, Freya, Nathan, and Meredith. For the many friends Dean had, especially here at Gates Presbyterian Church, hear us now as we silently give thanks for our own memories of Dean. Today and always, we praise your name for sharing Dean with us. Spirit of life, our love and hope is in you, that though Dean's life has ended here on earth, we trust he is united with you in a place where there will never be an end to love. In your name, we pray together using the words of our own traditions, the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
has given us life, and through Christ we have been given new life. And we now commend Dean Scott Davis to God's merciful care in the faith of Christ our Lord, who died and rose again to save us, and who now lives and reigns together, the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And may God's peace rule in our hearts, so that whatever we do in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God through him, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.
Right.